little ditty about pickleball, an addicting game that's fun for all. I really want to be a pickleball star. Some say I can't, they say it's too hard. Oh yeah, pickleball, of all the racket games, it's the most fun of all.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Pickleball Chat. I'm here with my partner in crime, Dee Dee.
Hello, Donna. Kitty.
Hello. And Alex, our lovely producer.
Hello.
What's happening, Donna?
I'm not too psyched about the rain today.
Oh, man. Yeah, we had a little episode in the studio here. It got a little wet.
Well, I was thinking we were going to miss pickleball today anyway, because we don't normally record at this time of the morning.
Right.
So when it rained, I was kind of happy, because I'm like, good, we're not missing it anyway.
I know. I saw that. I was like, it's going to rain, so no harm, no foul.
Right.
Are there some die-hard pickleballers that are out there anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but when the courts get wet, it's really hard to play.
But they'll mop them.
They get slick.
Okay.
And so some people are really afraid they're going to fall. But, yeah, they'll wipe them off. But then if it keeps raining on and off, that's an issue. Remember at the World Pickleball Championship?
That was so disappointing for everybody. I felt so bad. But I'll tell you, everyone was out there trying to dry them off.
We dried off courts for 3 or 4 hours.
I mean, as soon as you get them dried off, it would shower again.
I know.
Like, come on.
It was still a fun time. We had a great time.
Yeah, in the end, it went fine.
Yeah. So what's coming up as far as other tournaments, speaking of World Pickleball?
So we have something coming up. I think they're calling it the Spring Fling.
Oh, okay.
And that's in April. That's the 3rd to the 5th over there at the college. There's a Lucy Kitchener event. Oh. It's usually that's a charity. That's coming up in March, March 20th to the 24th.
Wait, what's happening March 20th to the 24th?
There's a Grand Slam Lucy Kitchener.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Charity event. 3/20 to 3/24, so they're doing another 4-day one.
They're also doing around that time, a clinic, Suncoast Pickleball Camp, and they have 8 courts.
Well, this is just a 4-day weekend, so that could still be happening during the week. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah.
There's also a fundraiser at the American Legion on March 8th, which they're going to have American Made.
I bought my ticket.
That's a great band. I was going about it. It's the weekend to go visit my son.
I know.
Darn it. But that's going to be great. That band is awesome.
Yeah, and lunch is included.
Yes.
$25, people. Get your tickets now,
and
unless it's sold out.
And go to pickleplex.org to get these. It's totally a fundraiser for Pickleplex, as far as I know.
I don't know how much more money they're going to need with the city and the county contributing funds. I mean, they always need money, of course, but excuse me.
So for phase two?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. So what else is going on?
I had a lesson with Ricky, and I like to play when I have lessons. So
you pay him to play. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit more than play. Pay to play.
Oh,
hey, and we're on radio. Pay to play. But anyway, Ricky, we had this other couple join us. Lovely couple, David and Kim. I'd seen them, but I had never met them. So we played, and then, let's see, I played Sunday. Did you play last weekend?
Oh, yeah. We had Jan's friend, Mike.
Oh, right. I met her, Laura.
I heard. Well, she's from South Dakota, and she just was in awe of those courts.
I know. She was.
She wanted to play.
I know.
Jan left, and we played for another 2 hours.
Well, Jan told me when she picked her up at the airport, she said, I want to go see those courts right now. So Jan took her right from the airport to Pickleplex to show her the courts. So, yeah, she was excited, very excited.
So, let's see. The other thing I noticed was coming up, and I love that both Peace River Picklers and Pickleplex do a lot of drills, skills, leagues. And I know I saw that they do for new players, which I think is awesome, outdoors from 5 to 6 on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Is, I guess I'll call it a league.
Is that the one Ginny's? No, she's doing Wednesday mornings, Ginny. She's helping new players on Wednesday mornings, she told me.
There's new things coming up all the time. I usually watch for the newsletter to see what things, but I also saw the first Sunday of the month they have at South County, which is some type of a league for new members.
Oh, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I was thinking about that. Like, Ricky's really been working on me for staying in technique. And because there's a technique that is the right, quote-unquote, technique if you want to play pickleball the most expert way, let's put it that way.
Okay.
You know, there's stances, there's shots you take in certain situations. There's when you play at the net, how you shuffle. And one of the things that I was thinking about was I wish when I first started playing, like when I first started playing, I just played. I watched YouTube a little bit, but I just played. But I wish I would have started playing with those techniques right away, because you get in a habit of playing
it.
Out of technique.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going back and, you know,
relearning.
Ricky's always saying to me, stay in technique. So that was really a lot of fun.
So did you find that you had to, like, break some habits? Because
yeah.
you didn't have the technique?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, my footwork is the thing that I work on the most. Because when I first started playing, I'd cross my feet. And
oh,
I'd go instead of shuffling.
Make you trip.
Yeah, I would just, instead of shuffling, I'd take my left foot, if I was reaching for a ball, to the right for my forehand and put it over my right.
Okay.
And I see a lot of people do that. And,
You know what I heard someone talking about, one of the drills they did, and I think it's to do with shuffling, is if there's two of you playing up at the kitchen line, it's like a pendulum.
You're supposed to stay with your partner, that's right.
And you almost have it envision sort of an elastic band between the two of you, or not an elastic band, because that would be bouncing, but, you know, a set distance.
Right.
And when they shuffle,
right.
you shuffle.
Right.
And you stay in unison with them to keep that gap between you always the same.
Right.
And
a lot of new players don't do that. It's a good.
I don't think I even do it.
No,
so
I know. You don't
you
think
have to really be
that's
conscious
what I mean.
Of it.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason for that is for good defense. Because when your partner gets pulled left or right, you've got to go with them so you can cover that middle.
Right.
Because, you know, people are trying to hit down the middle. When they see you out of position, they're going to hit where you're not.
Right.
Which is another thing, you know, placement over power.
Right. Yeah, and that's one thing you mentioned about, like, Ricky, he's not, like, slamming the ball.
Oh, never. I mean, the only...
It's just he's lightly hitting it, and
no,
it's placing
you don't have
it
to expend much energy. You really don't.
Every now and then, slamming it is
feels good.
But it's an effective technique too.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, when you watch the pros play, that's what's so cool. Or not even the pros, just a good player. Could even be a good 4-0, 3-5. Doesn't have to be like a 5-0.
Yeah.
You watch and you pick up things that they're good at.
Right.
You know, so when you see that, you know, positioning, staying together on the courts when they shuffle, and you just see these techniques that you go, am I doing that?
Yeah.
I hope I'm
it takes
doing
a
that.
Lot of you got to really concentrate if you want to play an effective pickleball game. You got to really be aware of where you are, where your partner is, where your opponents are, what you're doing with your feet, anticipating the next shot. There's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to put them all together. Just like any sport, really.
Yeah.
Until it becomes intuitive and natural.
Right.
Because what sports did you play before? You played softball, didn't you?
I played, well, I tried everything. I played soccer.
Oh, okay. I never played soccer.
I did basketball for a little while. Skied.
Okay.
Softball for sure. You name it, pretty much I've tried it. Golf.
Yeah. Oh, I suck at golf. To me, golf is a skill. It's a learned skill, and... You know, that's another one they say that you really have to stay in your head or not, well, out of your head, but you have to really focus on that ball.
Yeah.
I get distracted during golf.
So what
too
were
long
the things
of a game.
You've done?
Well, my favorite sport and the sport I think I was the best at was volleyball. And since I'm short, I was a setter. And I won several trophies, my team
Whoa.
And I. Oh, yeah. We had a lot of fun. And it became very intuitive for me. And it's funny because I played for several years, probably 10 years, 15, and I started in grade school because in the Catholic schools, when I came up through the Catholic schools, that's all girls played. They didn't play basketball. We played softball and volleyball, but we started volleyball first grade and started being on a team in sixth grade, I think.
Okay.
So, and then, of course, it progressed in college. I played, not for my college team, but we played recreationally in college all the time. Mm-hmm. And we'd play three-man, three against three, which makes you really be aware of where the ball's coming and what you need to do. And then we'd play sand. We'd play on the sand and sand courts.
That's
and
fun.
That was the so much fun. And I don't know. I mean, it's funny because I played for many years and I thought I was pretty good, you know. And then I probably didn't play for 20 years. I went and played and I just sucked. It was like, you know, all that intuition, all those body muscles, all the muscle memory and everything
anymore?
Was gone. It was just gone.
It's old age, kid.
Yeah. I think it was just away from the sport for so long that you just.
It's funny because I always thought of volleyball is tall people, and you're not that tall.
Well, I was a setter.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
Are they looking for setters?
Well, setters are very important. You know?
They're always short?
Well, not necessarily, but they can be.
Oh.
You're not gonna put a short person at the net to spike the ball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could dig. I could get those balls, you know, no matter
and
how.
Set it up. For
yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Cool.
And sometimes, you know, it's funny because they have the same term in volleyball that they have in pickleball. Do you know what it is?
Let me think for a second. All right, that's long enough. I can't.
Dink.
Oh.
And they'd say in volleyball, we had shirts made once that said a small dink. A soft dink is hard to get up. Because, you know, sometimes when you're right at the net, you just, you know, they're waiting for the spike.
Yeah.
And you just poop, dink it over. So, yeah.
Sort of similar.
Very much. Very much.
Cool.
What were some of the other things that Ricky pointed out to you that you your technique
to not hit the ball, to not try to kill it.
Okay.
You know, to keep the power down.
Yeah, I was surprised when you said that Ricky doesn't hit it hard.
No.
I would expect it to.
No.
He
does
sometimes. Well, it depends what your opponents are doing and what the best shot is to take at the time.
Right.
But no. You should dink and reset the ball as much as possible. When they start slamming at you, you block and you dink and reset the ball. Because Ricky pointed out to me something a long time ago, and he said, usually the person that starts banging it
is the one that messes up.
That loses the point. Whereas if you can do soft dinks, keep them coming, cross court, wait for them to screw up.
Yeah.
Let them make the errors.
Easier said than done.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I know. And the third shot drop. He says, stay in technique. When you're serving and they return the ball to you, your shot, 9 out of 10 times, is to do a third shot drop, which means just like a dink, but you're doing it from the center of the court or from the baseline. You're dropping that shot high over your kitchen,
right
over the net,
into
their kitchen. This gives you time to run forward
before
and to get to the net. And it also takes away their power shot. I mean, they're not going to slam a dink to you.
Right.
Because they can't. So he talked about lobs, too, and he said he doesn't usually use a lob. I like lobbing. I got that from tennis.
I think it's a good technique to try, but I hate it when someone does
tries it
all
on you.
The time. I mean over and over again. It's
right.
Like, come on.
Right. Yeah. It's you know, like he talks about having shots in your arsenal. And that's an effective one. If you have both players at the net and they're not real tall, you can go over the head and try to hit that baseline. Now, lobbing is never a good idea when it's windy, I've discovered.
Yeah.
Because you get that ball high and you don't know where it's going to go. But, yeah, the third shot drop. Now, it's been pointed out to me and I've seen on YouTube that some of the pros are doing a fifth shot drop and doing the drive on the third shot. But I really think that the most effective shot to take most of the time is the third shot drop. And it took me a while to really believe that.
I just have to remind myself to think about it.
Right.
If I think, you know, Kathy, I've told you this before. She'll, like, say, okay, this all we're going to do is practice the third shot drop.
Right.
And I'm thinking, good for her.
Right. And that's another thing Ricky said. When you play recreational games, don't play to win, play to practice. So I try to keep that focus, too.
Yeah.
I was playing at the Plex. Must have been Monday. What's today? Wednesday. It was Monday. And I ran into a couple that I had never seen there before. And, man, they were intense.
Mm-hmm.
They were very
intense?
Not really.
Too aggressive.
Well, just their attitude. And, you know, they were very good players. They were probably 5-0s, and they were just exasperated, you know.
You know, it's funny.
If we could get it back. And I took, there were a couple times, and I had a good partner, and there were a couple times where we hit balls that were close, but we thought they were in, and they called them out. And there was one especially that we kind of looked at each other, my partner and I, like, really? They called that out? And I said to my partner, I said, it doesn't matter. It's their call. And she turned on me with this scowl on her face, and she goes, yes, it does matter. And I said it was out.
Really?
And you never encounter people like that there, so I was kind of shocked.
Everyone has different levels of intensity, and it's funny. I had a similar experience when we were playing over the weekend with people from South Dakota. The first person that we played with was, before everyone was getting there, mm-hmm. was intense in the sense that wouldn't even crack a smile.
Yeah.
Wouldn't really have any form of dialogue with you.
Wow.
And it was just, I didn't really notice it initially, but that was all they kept talking about. Oh, my God, I hope we don't end up playing with someone that's like that again. They're too intense.
Yeah, I know. It was not fun. It was not fun. And, you know, it was, I said thanks for the game and walked away. And then I said to my partner, man, they were intense. He goes, yeah, no fun at all. So he agreed with me. So
what's this game you wanted to play with me?
Oh, yeah. I just was going to give you a term, a pickleball term, and then just say the first word that comes to mind.
Okay.
Poach.
Eggs.
I like it. Very clever.
Not very pickleballish, but
poach. Poach, of course, is when you're playing with you're up at the net, or not necessarily up at the net, but generally that's when it happens. And someone reaches over and takes a ball that really was your ball to play. I've done it. Everyone's done it.
Yeah, their backhand, your forehand, or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I read in a pickleball blog that as far as poaching goes, you should just discuss with your partner ahead of time. If someone has a stronger backhand or forehand than you, then decide, okay, you're going to take these shots, and I'll step out of the way.
Okay.
Which is really a good idea because communication out there is key. I mean, we lose so many points because we didn't communicate. Oh, I thought you were going to get it. Oh, I thought you were going to get it. Well, beforehand, say who's going to take what balls.
That's true.
And call them.
Yep. I know, we can call them, and we don't very often, but that's a good technique.
Some people always do.
Yeah.
You know. I always use my volleyball term. I go, meaning it's my shot.
Oh, okay.
You go.
I always say yours.
Does Ricky always call the ball?
When he's playing in a tournament with a partner, yes. But I think they also have developed some really specific strategy. And specific strategy before the game.
Because
they know who they're playing. They already know, have watched them play or have played them before and knows their weaknesses and their strengths.
Yep.
Okay, how about banger?
Rapper.
Rapper. Rapper.
You know, the rap band, bangers, they call them bangers.
This is pickleball, too.
I know, but I thought it was the first thing that came to my mind. I'm not thinking pickleball, unfortunately.
Okay, well, try to get into that pickleball.
Bangers.
I'm sorry.
Bangers is another term for gangbangers.
I know, but.
Thank you, Allie.
I know. My mind also went to eggs and to gangbangers.
Yes, all right.
Okay. Oh, boy. How about no man's land?
Oh,
the kitchen.
No.
No, that's when you're not all the way.
It's when you're between the kitchen and the baseline.
You're either in the middle is no whiz, man, really, because you're at the back at the beginning and you should be right at the kitchen line at the end. And a lot of times people are in the middle somewhere and that's no whiz land.
No man's land, right. Because generally when you're in that position, you have a hard time returning dinks and you have a hard time returning drives. Now, there is an exception to that.
In the center of the court?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Between
center meaning from front to back.
No, from
middle.
Kitchen line
from
to
kitchen
the
line.
Service line in the middle of there.
Right.
So maybe so like 5 feet, 4 feet beyond the kitchen. Now, there's an exception to that. When you hit a high ball to your opponents, and you know they're going to banging on you, it's always a good idea to drop back from the kitchen because you're more apt to return that hit, that shot. Let's see. Do you know what tagging is? You're going to love this one.
No.
Okay, tagging is when you intentionally hit the ball at someone.
And then you say sorry.
Ooh, I didn't mean to do that. Are you okay?
I think it's funny when people say they're sorry because it's almost like you know what you're doing. I mean, occasionally you don't mean to hit it in their face, let's say, but you do try to hit it at people.
Well, and here's when you try to hit it at people, when they don't have their paddle up.
Because then they're not
you
ready
You see
the
somebody
defense.
With their paddle down here, you're like, oh, that's going at their sternum. That's going at their sternum, brother. Right?
I suppose, yeah.
And, yeah, it's a part of the game.
Yeah.
You know, and it teaches you to keep that paddle up.
But it's funny how almost everybody, if they hit somebody, goes, sorry.
I know. And well, like, because that's your natural human instinct,
right.
You know. Sorry, not
it
sorry.
It gets old when I get hit 3 or 4 times at the same
I know.
Time.
Sorry, keep that paddle up.
Sorry. Okay, it's okay.
Okay, what else? I said banger. How about lob?
I think Debbie. When you say lob, first thing that comes to mind is Debbie. And Debbie hasn't been there in a while. She's the golfer.
I know.
I don't even see her. But when I first played her,
yeah,
I was like, woman, all right. I got and the lob makes you hustle back, get
right.
it. And I
right.
actually usually can return them pretty often. I
yeah.
mean, my successes are greater than 75%.
Yeah, that's great.
But, like I said, once in a while, it's a technique you need to do for a specific reason, but someone that does it repeatedly during the game,
well,
like 6, 7, 8
yeah,
times, it's annoying.
It's anybody who takes the same shot over and over. It's a bad,
yeah.
bad strategy. And like Ricky said, he goes, you're going to do that to me once, Kitty, but not again. And I served him a real good serve in the corner
yeah.
when we were playing against each other, and he missed it. And then I did it again, and he's like, mm-mm, he got it right back. He goes, you only do that to me once. So
yeah.
it's like, you know, your opponents teach you. So that was a great show. I love talking about all the shots that we can take and getting into the strategy of pickleball. So thanks for joining us once again. See you later. Bye, Dee Dee.
Bye.
Some say I can't, they say it's too hard.